Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Secrets Revealed. Understand the Book of Revelation from start to finish with me, your Book of Revelation research scientist, Dr. Nicole. And it is Tuesday, May 24th, 2022, 6:02 a.m. in Beijing, China. It's 7:02 a.m. in Tokyo, 9:02 a.m. in Sydney, 2:02 p.m. in Vancouver, 4:02 p.m. in Garland, Texas, 10:02 p.m. in Lagos, 10:02 p.m. in London. It is 12:02 a.m. just past midnight in Israel and 1:02 a.m. in Moscow, Russia. Thank you for listening. Wherever you are, I am pleased that you are with us, friend. I want to begin with a prayer for you from the Book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 3. It says, blessed, happy to be envied, is the man who reads aloud in the assemblies the word of this prophecy, and blessed, happy to be envied are those who hear it read and who keep themselves true to the things which are written in it, heeding them and laying them to heart, for the time for them to be fulfilled is near. So, friend, today I declare over you, according to the word of God and the Book of Revelation, you are blessed, you are happy, you are to be envied, because today you will hear the word of the prophecy of the Book of Revelation, and I pray that you will keep yourself true to the things which are written in it. I pray that you will heed them, that you will lay them to your heart, because the time is indeed near for them to be fulfilled. Amen, amen, amen. Today, I am talking to you about the dead judged prophecy. In the Book of Revelation, there are statements of prophecy. By my analysis as a research scientist, there are 10 statements of prophecy. This prophecy that I am focusing on for our discussion today is called the dead judged prophecy. There are 10 statements of prophecy, and these statements of prophecy appear in the Book of Revelation, beginning with chapter 1, verse 5. They continue in a series of consecutive statements of prophecy, followed by a formal conclusion. So they start with verse 1 of chapter 5 and end with verse 5 of chapter 22, the last chapter of the Book of Revelation. And these statements of prophecy are noted specifically with this language by the primary narrator of the Book of Revelation, the Apostle John. For example, in verse 18 of chapter 22, John says, I personally, solemnly warn everyone who listens to the statements of the prophecy, the predictions and the consolations and admonitions pertaining to them. And then he says more. The take-home point is that immediately following the last statement of prophecy, which is the New Earth prophecy, John makes that statement. Again, John says, I personally, solemnly warn everyone who listens to the statements of the prophecy, the predictions and the consolations and admonitions pertaining to them in this book. And then he gives a warning about not adding or taking away anything from the statements of prophecy. I want to establish for us, using the word of God, that there are, in fact, statements of prophecy. So what is a statement of prophecy? There is a singular prophecy or prediction. And then there's something called a statement of prophecy. So in a statement of prophecy, John tells us in this same verse that it includes one or more of the following, a prediction, a consolation, and or an admonition. So a prediction is a forecast. Traditionally, Predictions include forecasts based on data analyses conducted by an individual or group of individuals, typically experts in some field. In this case, the predictions in the book of Revelation go beyond an expert and come specifically from the omniscient one, our omniscient God. So God is omniscient, meaning all-knowing. God is omnipotent, meaning all-powerful, and omnipresent, meaning present everywhere. So when we are aware of, consider, and focus on a prediction in the book of Revelation, we're focusing on something that is genuine and true. Let me read another verse to you from the conclusion of the book of Revelation. Here John says to us, again, John's the narrator, the primary narrator of the book of Revelation, one of two narrators of this formal conclusion. Both Jesus and John narrate the formal conclusion of the book of Revelation. Primarily it's John, and in this verse, verse 6 of chapter 22, we have John saying, "And he of the seven angels further said to me, these statements are reliable, worthy of confidence, and genuine true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his messenger angel to make known and exhibit to his servants what must soon come to pass." So this statement, "and he of the seven angels further said to me, these statements are reliable, worthy of confidence, and true." That's the first sentence, not the previous sentence. This is the first sentence of the formal conclusion. And the first thing John wants to communicate to us is that these statements, talking about the statements of prophecy referenced again later in the conclusion in verse 18, the first thing that John says to us, the readers of the book of Revelation, is that these statements are true. These statements are genuine. These statements are reliable. These statements are worthy of confidence. So again, what are the statements of prophecy? They include at least one of these three things: a prediction, information about the future from an omniscient, in other words, an all-knowing God. So God says, "I know the end from the beginning." And so this is not an analysis of what maybe is going to come, thoughts about what might happen given what has occurred in the past. This is genuine, reliable, factual information specifically provided supernaturally to John for us. Why? Why has God provided these predictions? Well, let's look at the other two things. There are three total that might be included in a statement of prophecy. There's a consolation. Consolations are words used to provide hope in the face of distressing information, circumstances, or events. In the book of Revelation, we're told that the time is coming where things will be brought to a crisis. We're also told that there is coming difficult times, so difficult that we've never seen times this difficult on the earth and never will again after this time has ended. I'm specifically talking about the wrath of Satan, the Great Tribulation, the 1,260 days that follows the abomination of desolation, where the Antichrist will stand in Israel's rebuilt temple. So Israel, right now, there's no temple. Israel does not have a temple on the Temple Mount, but there's coming a time where there will be a confirmation of the covenant that God made with Abraham. There'll be a peace-sharing agreement. Israel will get the go-ahead from the world community, from a new deal that permits them to rebuild. So this will be the third temple for the nation of Israel. 3.5 years into this shared agreement, 3.5 years into the agreement where there's a sharing of the Temple Mount, the Palestinians will be permitted to continue to worship in their mosque there. The Jewish people will be permitted to worship in their new temple, and they will tell them that you're going to be allowed to do this, but 3.5 years into it, the Antichrist will be known to us, those who are readers of the book of Revelation, readers of the book of Daniel, readers of the Bible. We will know when that individual who was a participator in creating the agreement that allows Israel to rebuild its temple, the Antichrist will stand in the temple and declare that he is God. So that's referred to as the abomination of desolation. And at that point, that will mark the beginning of the 1,260 days. That is the Great Tribulation. Immediately following, we will have the wrath of God. So following the wrath of Satan, which is the Great Tribulation, we'll have the return of Jesus Christ. Those of us who are in Christ will rise up. We will receive our incorruptible, glorified, perfected bodies. We will meet Jesus in the air. The marriage supper of the Lamb will occur. The Battle of Armageddon will be fought and won by Jesus Christ. All of these things are discussed in great detail in the book of Revelation. We're going to be talking about the dead judge prophecy. And every Tuesday and every Sunday, I'm sharing with you secrets from the book of Revelation so that you can understand it from start to finish. So thinking about this great tribulation, God gives consolations, words to provide hope. And these aren't words based on anything other than facts. So presented with the realities of distressing events in the future, God also shares events that refer to triumph, events that refer to overcoming, events that refer to victory. These are victories and triumphs and overcoming that we as men and women of God are sure to experience if we faint not. So again, we're talking about what's in these statements of prophecy. So they're predictions, predictions based on facts known to God because God knows the end from the beginning. There are consolations, words of hope, words that indicate what will happen in our future, good things in our future, triumphing after a time of crisis that will be coming. Times of crises. And third, admonitions. An admonition is a warning. So an admonition provides counsel and warning. And so those are the three things that may be included in a statement of prophecy. Sometimes we have one, sometimes we have two, sometimes we have all three, depending on which statement of prophecy we're looking at. So again, in the book of Revelation, it includes primarily, the bulk of the book of Revelation are the statements of prophecy. By my analysis, there are 10 statements of prophecy. They center on a singular or several themes. Each statement of prophecy contains multiple predictions, consolations, and or admonitions. Today, we are going to be talking about details related to the dead judged prophecy, which is in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. Okay, I want to share with you in layman's terms some of, all of the predictions that are included in the book of Revelation, and then I will share with you reading from the Amplified Classic translation of the Bible, the actual dead judged prophecy. So in layman's terms, what are the prophecies? Number one, there's one whose face earth and sky will flee away from. Number two, no place will be found for the earth and sky. Let me share about those two prophecies, and I have 13 that I will read to you from the Dead Judge prophecy, followed by the reading of the actual Dead Judge prophecy. Elsewhere in the book of Revelation, we are told that at the time, following the sounding of the seventh trumpet, the second coming of Jesus Christ will occur. When Jesus returns, several important things will happen. The most important thing from my perspective is that every person who is in Christ, whether dead or alive, will receive an incorruptible, perfected, glorified body. A second thing that will happen, also very important, is that there will be earth changes. So there will be lightning, mountains will move, there's going to be a gigantic earthquake. So literally, there are places on the earth that will flee. There are places that will no longer exist on the earth. There are mountains that are going to fall. God also tells us elsewhere in the book of Revelation that we are going to get a new heaven as well as a new earth. That's described in great detail in the New Earth prophecy. So getting to the prophecies in the Dead Judge prophecy, the Dead Judge statement of prophecy, there is one whose face earth and sky will flee away from. Number two, and that's in our future, no place will be found for the earth and sky. We are going to get a new earth, a perfected earth, and we're going to get a new heaven and a new sky. I believe those words, heaven and sky, are used interchangeably. A third prophecy, the one whose face earth and sky will flee away from will sit on a great white throne. So again, I'm sharing with you factual predictions about our future, things that are sure to come to pass, genuine statements based on knowledge communicated to John, recorded in the book of Revelation, statements that are genuine and true. Number four, the dead, great and small, will stand before the great white throne. So we're talking about the dead. Who are the dead? I want to share more about that, but I want to get out these predictions and then go back to discuss them in great detail. First, books will be opened on the day of the great white throne judgment. Second, after the books are opened at the great white throne judgment, the book of life will be opened. Recorded in the books, number seven, recorded in the books that are opened first are what each individual, great and small, has done, each individual's whole way of feeling and acting, each individual's aims, each individual's motive, each individual's endeavors, as well as each individual's works. An eighth prophecy included in the Dead Judge statement of prophecy is that all nations will deliver up each person who experienced the first death, who died without Christ. These individuals will be restored to life for the purpose of having their case determined. Nine, death, which includes all who have experienced the first death and who have not been restored to life, will deliver up individuals. These individuals will be restored to life again. So this is another way of saying the prediction that we heard with prediction number eight. So God tells it to us three ways. All nations will deliver up each person who experienced the first death, who died without Christ. And in death, who has all who've experienced the first death and who have not been restored to life yet, will deliver up these individuals. A third thing is that Hades, who housed all who have experienced the first death, who have not been restored to life again will deliver up these individuals. So this is an interesting way to think about it, and we're going to specifically hear the dead judged prophecy. Every nation that currently exists has had individuals who have experienced the first death. So you say, well, Dr. Nicole, what are you talking about, the first death? There are two deaths. The book of Revelation tells us that the second death will only be experienced by those whose cases are determined at the great white throne judgment. All individuals, with the exception of the Antichrist and the false prophet, who are thrown into the lake of fire at their defeat at the Battle of Armageddon, will be restored to life again at the Great White Throne Judgment or at the time of the Second Coming. There are nations that existed at one time but no longer exist. Those nations also will release their dead. So that's one way to think about individuals as people who existed in the context of a nation. For example, the United States is a nation. Botswana is a nation. Mexico is a nation. So if you think about people in that way, there are many nations, past, present, and maybe future. If an individual existed, that individual existed in the context of a nation, a group of people with a formal government or informal government or both, all nations will deliver up those who have died from the nation. That's one way to think of it. God gives us another way to think of it as simply death. Death will have to deliver up all who have died. Now, at this point, at the time of the Great White Throne Judgment, many who have experienced the first death will already be alive again. So in Revelation chapter 1, in verse number 5, it says, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, first to be brought back to life, and the prince ruler of the kings of the earth." So that's in the abstract for the book in its entirety. First chapter, verse 5. The key point is it tells us Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. If there's a firstborn, that means there's a secondborn and a thirdborn. Well, who are those individuals? Those are individuals who are restored to life again at the time of the second coming. So there are two points in time at which individuals will be restored to life again. Group one will be restored to life again for the purposes of receiving an immortal body. In other words, a body that is incorruptible, a body that is imperishable, a body that is perfected, a body that is glorified. Individuals in group two are restored to life again at the time of the Great White Throne Judgment. So when we're talking about those who are dead at time number two, note that all who are in Christ are alive. So at this point in time, individuals who have experienced salvation, in other words, who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, all of us exist in either one of two locations. Either we are on the earth presently, or we are located in heaven, in a disembodied state. Similarly, All of those who are not in Christ are in one of two locations. They are either in Hades, in a disembodied state, or they are residing on the earth. When we are talking about the great white throne judgment, and it says Hades will be put to death and thrown in the lake of fire, death will be put to death and thrown in the lake of fire, it is communicating to us that God is going to go through a series of actions that will take every corrupted thing, everything that has fallen under the power and dominion and yielded itself to the dragon, in other words, to Satan, all of those things will be put to death, specifically the second death. In the book of Revelation, in verse 6 of chapter 20, this is in the statement of prophecy that precedes the dead judged prophecy. It says, blessed, happy to be envied and holy, spiritually whole, of unimpaired innocence and proved virtue, is the person who takes part, shares in the first resurrection. If there's a first resurrection, that means there's a second resurrection. The second resurrection happens at the time of the great white throne judgment. It happens at the time of the dead judged prophecy. It also says in verse 6 of chapter 20, over them, talking about those who take part in the first resurrection, over them the second death exerts no power or authority, but they shall be ministers of God and of Christ the Messiah, and they shall rule along with him 1,000 years. So that's very exciting. What do we learn from this? All individuals, with the exception of the Antichrist and the false prophet, who immediately experience the second death when they are hurled into the lake of fire, when God defeats them at the time of the Battle of Armageddon, the rest of us will be restored to life again, either at time one, which is the second coming of Jesus Christ, or time two, which is the great white throne judgment, the dead judged prophecy. There is a 1,000-year period in between those two points in time. Frequently, we talk about that period as the millennial reign. It is discussed in great detail in the dragon-bound prophecy. During that 1,000-year period, Satan is placed into the abyss, the bottomless pit, and at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan, the devil is released for a short time, and then he's hurled into the fiery lake. Let me read that verse to you in the dragon-bound prophecy, verse 10 of chapter 20. Then the devil who had led them astray, deceiving and seducing them, was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone, where the beast and false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever through the ages of the ages. So we learn that the beast, the false prophet, so in other words, the Antichrist and the false prophet and the devil all experience the second death. They are thrown in the lake of fire. Let's go back to that verse where we see that the Antichrist and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire 1,000 years before Satan. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, it says, and the beast was seized and overpowered, and with him the false prophet, who in his presence had worked wonders and performed miracles, by which he led astray those who had accepted or permitted to be placed upon them the stamp mark of the beast, and those who paid homage and gave divine honors to his statue. Both of them were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. And so when it says both of them, it's talking about the Antichrist and the false prophet. It says, and the beast, talking about the Antichrist, was seized and overpowered, and with him the false prophet. Then it concludes that verse that I just read with, both of them were hurled alive into the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. And then again, in the next chapter, in chapter 20, verse 10, it says, then the devil who had led them astray, deceiving and seducing them, was hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet were. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Okay, that takes us up to this important place, which is the dead judged prophecy. I am going to read that to us now from the Amplified Classic translation of the Holy Bible. The dead judged prophecy begins with verse 11 of chapter 20, and it ends with verse 15. By my analysis, it is the ninth statement of prophecy in the book of Revelation. It is followed by the last statement of prophecy, the new earth prophecy, and it is preceded by the dragon-bound statement of prophecy. So using words from the Bible as a title, we can think of this statement of prophecy as the dead judged prophecy. It says, then I saw a great white throne and the one who was seated upon it, from whose presence and from the sight of whose face earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. I also saw the dead, great and small. They stood before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged, sentenced by what they had done, their whole way of feeling and acting, their aims and endeavors, in accordance with what was recorded in the books. And the sea delivered up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, surrendered the dead in them, and all were tried, and their cases determined by what they had done, according to their motives, aims, and works. Then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. That is the dead judged prophecy. We began with foundational discussion about the book of Revelation, where we heard and learned that the Antichrist and the false prophet are the first two individuals to be thrown into the lake of fire, according to the book of Revelation. Now, are there other people who experienced the lake of fire before them? That could be, I don't know. They are the first two individuals as described in the book of Revelation. The third entity to be thrown into the lake of fire is Satan himself. After Satan being thrown into the lake of fire, death is thrown into the lake of fire. So in the book of Revelation, we are told that the former order of things will pass away, that death shall be no more. Let's stay there for a second. Death shall be no more. How is it possible that death will be no more, that death will no longer exist? Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, that work was significant. One of the things that Jesus accomplished was that he retrieved the keys to death and Hades. And ultimately, what will happen at the time of the Great White Throne Judgment is that death will be put to death. So it tells us in the Bible that the last enemy to be abolished is death. And when you think about an enemy, well, who's your enemy? Satan is an enemy. Death is an enemy. So once the false prophet, the Antichrist, and Satan are put to death, in other words, they are hurled into the lake of fire, which is the second death, what enemy do you have left at that point? At that point, our enemy is death itself. The fact that it exists, that something beautiful, a creation of God, whether it be a human being or a plant or maybe it's a wonderful dog or whale or tree, but the fact that it can die. God is for life. God came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. That's why Jesus Christ came. And so at that point when the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan have been put to death, death is hurled into the lake of fire and will no longer exist. Hades, the physical location, will be put into the lake of fire. It tells us in verse 13 of chapter 20 in the dead judged prophecy. And finally, number 6, what is the sixth and last thing that will be put to death? In other words, the last thing that will experience the second death. So we know that when you die in this stage of life, the Bible says you are simply falling asleep, because right now we are in a perishable, corruptible body, a mortal body, but that's not God's perfect plan for us. And if we cooperate with God's perfect plan for us, we are on our way to an incorruptible, imperishable, glorified, perfected body that will allow us to experience the immortality that God wants for every person. The sixth and final thing to be put to death is every individual who has refused, to accept Jesus's payment for his or her sins. So the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. When Jesus died on the cross, a new law we were no longer under that law. Now we're under the law of grace. But sin debt must be paid for, and the blood of Jesus can pay for that sin debt. And so for all who are in Christ, we have made Jesus Christ Lord of our lives. We have repented of our sins. Our sins are blotted out. God says he will remember them no more, and importantly, our names are recorded in the book of life. We are restored to life again as a part of group one at time one. So group one includes all individuals dead and alive who have experienced salvation, all individuals who are in Christ, all individuals who are in right standing with God. We can't work our way into right standing with God. So talking about the sixth thing to be put to death, in other words, to experience the second death, to be hurled into the lake of fire that will burn for the ages of ages, those are individuals who are in sin, individuals who are not in right standing with God, individuals who decided, I'm going to pay for my own sin. So we all have a case. we learn in this prophecy that at the time of the great white throne judgment, that books will be opened. And that in those books, all the works, the aims, the endeavors, the motives of an individual are recorded. After those books are open, there's also the Lamb's Book of Life, which will be open. So the Lamb's Book of Life is discussed many times in the Bible, and we've discussed that in detail in other programs this month, all this month of May 2022. I'm just talking about the Dead Judge Prophecy, new insights and discussion for every talk. For this talk, I want to focus on what is happening with the sixth thing that is thrown into the lake of fire. All individuals whose names are not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And so if you are a fair judge, if you are a righteous judge, you look at all the evidence. So what's the evidence? The evidence is a report, an accurate report of all the deeds that a person has completed. Now, in reality, no individual is free of sin. Only Jesus was sinless. And so because we have all sinned, we've all fallen short, we need a perfect Savior to blot out our sins, to pay the price for our mistakes. And we get to decide whether we want to accept that payment or not. The blood of Jesus is the payment. We get to decide whether we're going to accept that or not. Now, you might say, Dr. Nicole, this all sounds fantastic, outrageous. I've never heard this before. This doesn't make sense to me. I want to draw your attention to verse 6. Of the conclusion of the book of Revelation, where the narrator, the primary narrator, John, says, and he of the seven angels further said to me, these statements are reliable, worthy of confidence, and genuine true. And he also says in verse 18, I personally, solemnly warn everyone who listens to the statements of the prophecy, the predictions, and the consolations and admonitions pertaining to them. In this dead judged prophecy, there are predictions which are accurate forecasts, accurate reporting of events that are sure to come to pass. So what that means is that necessarily, you will be restored to life again at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ, or at the time of the dead judged prophecy. No person has the option to just continue in a disembodied state, floating out there in the atmosphere. As creations of God, we were made in three parts: body, spirit, and soul. So your soul includes your mind, will, and emotions. You have a spirit man that dwells on the inside of you, and who's seated with God in heavenly places if you're in Christ. And you have a body. Sin, when Adam and Eve sinned, we were all born in Adam's image, in their image. And that means that we were subject to sin and therefore subject to death. However, there's an end point in time. Death has a finite period of existence. Finite simply means limited, defined, a start and end point. When death exists no more and all six of the things mentioned are put to death, at that appointed time, God will create a new earth and a new heaven. Upon that new earth and new heaven, no evil thing will exist. There'll never be war again. There'll never be disease again. Death shall be no more. God tells us that elsewhere in the book of Revelation, and he explains in this dead judged prophecy how he is going to create, how he is going to create a reality that permits and requires death to exist no more. So he explains how the Antichrist is going to be put to death in a lake of fire forever and ever, how the false prophet will be put to death, a second death that is permanent, how Satan is third that will be put to the second death, thrown into the lake of fire that will burn forever and ever. Death will be thrown into the lake of fire. Hades will be thrown into the lake of fire. And finally, outside of the will of God, individuals who have rejected God, in other words, individuals who have failed to get in right standing with God and who are therefore disallowed to continue in a mortal body, who are disallowed to continue in a physical body that would allow them to be on the new earth. Well, why would a loving God disallow a human being to exist on a new earth with him and with others for the eternities of eternities? My perception is that any evil thing, any corrupted thing, any sin thing, anything that has the nature of sin in it or that's subject to sin existed on the earth, then God couldn't be on it because God is perfect and therefore requires an environment that is perfect. Further, you see the time of crisis that we're in and may be aware of the greater crises which are to come. Those are all the result of sin and the work of Satan. So all of those things must be put to death in order to create a new order where peace exists, where love dwells, where men and women of God exist in a state of love, in a state of perfection, in a state of godliness. Isn't that what we all yearn for? Time of peace, where we get along, where we love each other, where we dwell in harmony, where we are in a state of happiness and joy, free of disease, free of physical and psychological ailments. That is God's best for you. That is God's best for me. He has a plan for you to have it. He has a plan for me to have it. And I encourage you to make sure that you're aware of what that plan is and that you cooperate with that plan, which reflects God's best for you and for me. However, we have a choice. We absolutely can decide that instead of being restored to life again at time one, and again, time one is the second coming of Jesus Christ, where those who are alive and in Christ on earth will rise second, rise up in the air second, receiving a glorified, incorruptible, perfected, immortal body. First are those who are dead in Christ. When we say they're dead, they're simply asleep. They have continued to exist as a spirit and soul, mind, will, and emotions. There's perfect continuity. The Bible tells us to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord for those who are in Christ. That perishable body will be raised up, imperishable, perfected. So absolutely, you have a choice and I have a choice. Do we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and make Jesus Lord of our life, which puts our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb refers to Jesus Christ. When a person's name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, that is a literal book that exists in heaven. It has a record of every person who is entitled to, who is scheduled for, who is guaranteed to participate in the second coming of Jesus Christ. By participation, I mean will rise up at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. That individual, all individuals whose names are recorded in the Book of Life, will rise up to meet Jesus Christ in the air, receiving a perfected, incorruptible, glorified body. So that's a body where there are no DNA errors. So maybe you've inherited a genetic disease. Perhaps you have problems with vision, or maybe there are problems with walking, or maybe you suffer from horrible migraines, or maybe you've never walked and you've always dreamed of walking and running. Maybe you have a heart to be an athlete, but your heart doesn't permit you to do that. Maybe you've always wanted to run a marathon, but you're in the twilight stage. Maybe you're 103 and you're thinking, I just have a couple of months left. Everything that I was going to do in life, I guess I've done. I don't have much time left. Friend, that's a lie from the pits of hell. You don't need a bucket list. And the reason you don't need a bucket list is that you are on schedule to live for the eternities of eternities. When Jesus Christ returns to the earth at the time of the second coming, all who are in Christ will receive a glorified, perfected body. So what's going to happen when you get your perfected body? The first thing that's going to happen is that you're going to meet Jesus Christ in the air. Then there will be the marriage supper of the Lamb. There will be the battle of Armageddon, which will be fought and won. Then Jesus Christ will set up his government on the earth. The nations will be permitted to continue for a time. Now, those who had the mark of the beast, they will lose their lives. All who took the mark of the beast will lose their lives. They rejected God. They paid homage to Satan, to the beast, and they will lose their lives. But the nations themselves will be permitted to continue for a time. But all human government will transition to the government of Jesus Christ. So he's going to establish a new government. And this is what it means when God says, you will rule and reign with me. What is he talking about? Once Jesus Christ puts down those human governments, he will establish a new government that will continue to exist through the millennial reign and beyond. So in future talks, I'll be talking about each specific statement of prophecy. Next month, in the month of June, we'll be discussing and I'll be sharing about the New Earth prophecy. And today we are focused on the dead judged prophecy. So let's work our way to that specific point in time. So you're in your glorified, incorruptible, immortal body. You're going to have that immortal body for the 1,000 years that follow the second coming of Jesus Christ. Then, at the end of the 1,000 years, as discussed earlier in this talk, Satan will be released from the bottomless pit. He'll be allowed to roam around for a short time. Then Satan will be put to death. Then death will be put to death. Hades will be put to death. And finally, all individuals restored to life again. their cases are heard, all individuals who were not in Christ, and then they are put to death. So you might say, well, why on earth would God restore to life again someone simply for the purposes of putting the person to death? My perception, and let me share what the Bible tells us. It's God's will that none should perish, but that all should have everlasting life. However, each individual has the right to accept or reject God. The order that God has established is that every person will be restored to life again. There are two exceptions. I mentioned them earlier. The Antichrist and the false prophet, they are thrown into the lake of fire. They experience the second death at the time of the Battle of Armageddon when Jesus triumphs. All other individuals who have experienced the first death, they are merely asleep. So whether a person is disembodied, existing with the other two parts of the body, so we're all three parts, body, spirit, and soul. So a person who has died continues to exist. The same soul, mind, will, and emotions, the same spirit. The only part that is missing is the third part, and each person will get that third part again, either at time one or at time two. Now, at the time of the dead judged prophecy, it tells us they will be restored to life again. Let me read that scripture to you. In verse 5 of chapter 20, in the dragon-bound prophecy, so this is in the millennial reign, it says the remainder of the dead were not restored to life again until the 1,000 years were completed. So we do not have a choice about whether or not we are going to be restored to life again. Let me say that again. I don't have a choice, and you don't have a choice about whether we're going to be restored to life again. Now, there's some number of us, and maybe it includes me, and maybe it includes you, that will be here at the time of the second coming of Jesus Christ. I don't know the exact date of the second coming of Jesus Christ. However, every person will be judged. Now, what does it mean to be judged if you are in Christ? It means at least two things. Number one, it means that your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life and your sins have been blotted out and God will remember them no more. Your past, present, and future sins are paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ and you're in right standing. So that part of your case is decided and your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life because you have experienced salvation, because you are in Christ, which means that you are in right relationship with God and that your sin debt is paid for. It tells us in the dead judged prophecy, and if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. If your name is not in the Lamb's book of life, that means that you're restored to life again at time two. So again, there's a 1,000-year period in between these two times. And let me repeat, none of us has a choice. We will all be restored to life again, either receiving an incorruptible, imperishable, immortal body, or standing before the great white throne so that our case can be heard and so that we can be sentenced appropriately. God tells us the end from the beginning, which is that if you're restored to life again at time two, which is the time of the dead judged prophecy, that means that you missed group one and you missed group one because your name's not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if your name's not recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, that means that you are paying for your own sins, and that means that you are going to be hurled into the lake of fire, and you will experience the second death, and that you will be in that lake of fire, it tells us, forever and ever through the ages of the ages. It tells us that in the scripture where it describes what happens to the devil when the devil's thrown into the lake of fire. So those six things are going into the lake of fire. It is the top of the hour. I want to make sure you know that you can call with your question, comment, or prayer request. Our PGN phone number is 1-319-527-6027. If you have a question or comment about the Dead Judge prophecy or anything in the book of Revelation, I encourage you to call. Again, our phone number is 1-319-527-6027. I want to encourage you to carefully consider what I have shared with you today. I want to let you know that there are some things that we don't get to decide. And I want to read to you the way that the book of Revelation ends. What's the take-home point of all of this? So we have this dead judge prophecy. What are you supposed to do with this information? And this is what Jesus and John say to us. The formal conclusion of the book of Revelation, I'm reading beginning with verse 6 of chapter 22. I'll end with verse 21. I'm going to read this formal conclusion. It tells us what to do, how to think of these statements of prophecy, and I specifically share with you and with everyone today the dead judge prophecy. Reading from the Amplified Classic Translation, here is the formal conclusion of the book of Revelation. And he of the seven angels further said to me, these statements are reliable, worthy of confidence and genuine true. And the Lord, the God of the spirits of the prophets, has sent his messenger angel to make known and exhibit to his servants what must soon come to pass. And behold, I am coming speedily. Blessed, happy, and to be envied is he who observes and lays to heart and keeps the truths of the prophecy, the predictions, consolations, and warnings contained in this little book. And I, John, am he who heard and witnessed these things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell prostrate before the feet of the messenger angel who showed them to me to worship him. But he said to me, refrain, you must not do that. I am only a fellow servant along with yourself and with your brethren, the prophets, and with those who are mindful of and practice the truths contained in the messages of this book. Worship God. And he further told me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of this book and make no secret of them, for the time when things are brought to a crisis and the period of their fulfillment is near. He who is unrighteous, unjust, wicked, let him be unrighteous still. And he who is filthy, vile, and pure, let him be filthy still. And he who is righteous, just, upright, and right standing with God, let him do right still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. Behold, I am coming soon, and I shall bring my wages and rewards with me to repay and render to each one just what his own actions and his own work merit. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the before all and the end of all. Blessed, happy, and to be envied are those who cleanse their garments, that they may have the authority and right to approach the tree of life and to enter through the gates into the city. But without are the dogs and those who practice sorceries, magic arts and impurity, the lewd, adulterers and the murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and deals in falsehood, untruth, error, deception, cheating. I, Jesus, have sent my messenger angel to you to witness and to give you assurance of these things. for the church's assemblies. I am the root, the source, and the offspring of David, the radiant and brilliant morning star, the Holy Spirit in the bride, the church, the true Christians say, come. And let him who is listening say, come. And let everyone come who is thirsty, who is painfully conscious of his need, of those things by which the soul is refreshed, supported, and strengthened. And whoever earnestly desires to do it, let him come, take, appropriate, and drink the water of life without cost. I personally solemnly warn everyone who listens to the statements of the prophecy, the predictions, and the consolations and admonitions pertaining to them in this book. If anyone shall add anything to them, God will add and lay upon him the plagues, the afflictions, and the calamities that are recorded and described in this book. And if anyone cancels or takes away from the statements of the book of this prophecy, these predictions relating to Christ's kingdom and its speedy triumph, together with the consolations and admonitions or warnings pertaining to them, God will cancel and take away from him his share in the tree of life and in the city of holiness, purity, and hallowedness, which are described and promised in this book. He who gives this warning and affirms and testifies to these things says, yes, it is true. Surely I am coming quickly, swiftly, speedily. Amen. So let it be. Yes, come, Lord Jesus. The grace, blessing, and favor of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, be with all the saints, God's holy people, those set apart for God to be, as it were, exclusively his. Amen. So let it be. That is the formal conclusion of the book of Revelation. I want to draw your attention to a key verse. So what does it mean if you are restored to life again at time number one, which is the second coming of Jesus Christ, which means, it means number one, you have avoided being sentenced at the great white throne judgment. It means your name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life, and it means this thing noted in verse 12 of the conclusion of the book of Revelation. When Jesus Christ comes, so that's at time number one, the time of the second coming, he is bringing specifically to you, if you are in Christ, wages and rewards. Why is he bringing wages and rewards? He says to repay and render to each one just what his own actions and his own work merit. So that means that if you are in Christ, you can't work your way into right standing with God. That only happens through salvation, the work of the cross, you accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's a free gift to you. However, you can, according to your own work merit, receive wages and rewards. Wages and rewards. So I want to encourage you to continue in faith, continue to be in Christ, to be in hope, knowing that although we face difficult times, challenges in our personal lives, challenges that we experience, maybe you're experiencing physical distress or emotional distress, maybe your loved ones are hurting, maybe you're in grief or sorrow because of the death of a loved one or the pain that a loved one has experienced, I want to encourage you that this stage of life is relatively short. In your future, if you are in Christ, you have not only 50 years of having a wonderful body where you can run, where your mind is excellent, where your body is excellent. You have not only 50 years of that, you have 500 years, you have 5,000 years, you have 50,000 years, you have 500,000 years, you have 5 million years, 50 million years, 500 million years, 5 billion years, 50 billion. I could keep going on and on. My take-home point is God tells us that we will rule and reign with him in an immortal body for the eternities of eternity. The eternities of eternities is the exact language used in the book of Revelation. And so if you are thinking about what's in your future, what's in your future is restoration to life. You will be restored to life again at the second coming of Jesus Christ or at the time of the dead judged prophecy. It is absolutely your personal decision what you want to happen in your future. God's plan is for you to be in a perfected body with DNA that is free of errors, where you have knees that will always be strong, where you have a body that will never experience multiple sclerosis or cancer or Alzheimer's or pneumonia or COVID, blindness. You'll never have a limb that you can lose. You'll never lose your ability to walk or run. Your mind will be free of torment, free of distress. It will always be sharp. That's God's perfect plan for you to get the version of your body that he has purposed for you to have. That is a perfected body that allows you to live on a perfected earth, a new earth for the eternities of eternities with your loved ones who are with you now and your loved ones who died in Christ and your loved ones who are yet to come. That's God's perfect plan for you. And so in your future, you are surely going to be restored to life again. That's not science fiction. That's not a fantasy. That's not a good idea or story or thought. That is a statement of fact. It is a genuine and true statement reported in the book of Revelation. So you're going to be restored to life again at time one, the time of the second coming to receive all those things that I just shared, or at time two, which is the time of the dead judged prophecy. So again, the dead judged prophecy begins with verse 11, and it ends with verse 15 of chapter 20. Let's hear it a final time for our talk today. This is the dead judged prophecy, reading from the Amplified Classic Translation of the Bible. Then I saw a great white throne and the one who was seated upon it, from whose presence and from the sight of whose face earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. I also saw the dead, great and small. They stood before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged, sentenced by what they had done, their whole way of feeling and acting, their aims and endeavors in accordance with what was recorded in the books. And the sea delivered up the dead who were in it, death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, surrendered the dead in them, and all were tried and their cases determined by what they had done according to their motives, aims, and works. Then death and Hades, the state of death or disembodied existence, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found recorded in the book of life, he was hurled into the lake of fire. And so I have been sharing with you, we have been thinking about, hearing from the Bible, talking about this dead judged prophecy and the reality of all being restored to life again, either at the second coming of Jesus Christ, which happens before the Battle of Armageddon, or after the 1,000 years that follows the second coming of Jesus Christ, at the end of that 1,000 years, we're right here at the timing of the dead judged prophecy, the great white throne judgment. My perception is that it's better to be restored to life again at time one rather than time two. My perception is that it's better to be restored to life again for the plan, the promise, the purpose of everlasting life on a new earth, the perfected earth that will follow the events of the dead judged prophecy. We're getting a new earth, and that comes at an appointed time, which is a time after these six things that we've been discussing. When those six things have been put to death, God creates a new heaven and a new earth. My thought, and you might agree or disagree with this, you have to decide. My thought is that being restored to life again at time two is an inferior choice. My thinking is that it's better to exist for the eternities of eternities in an incorruptible body, body, spirit, and soul on a perfected earth, where your creator, you get to see his face and you get to dwell with him and others who are in Christ, your brothers and sisters, forever and ever. However, your perception and your decision might be that you want to experience the second death, that you want to dwell in the lake of fire. I don't get to decide that. You get to decide that. Now, what does the second death include? In verse 15, it says, this is the second death, the lake of fire. And in verse 20 of chapter 19, the beast, the false prophet, so in other words, the Antichrist and the false prophet, they're thrown in the lake of fire before those that the great white throne judgment, and it tells us in verse 20, the fiery lake that burns and blazes with brimstone. And when Satan is thrown into the lake of fire, the second death, it tells us in verse 10 of chapter 20 that Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet will be tormented day and night forever and ever through the ages of the ages. And that the devil is, quote, hurled into the fiery lake of burning brimstone, where the beast and false prophet were, end quote. Now, in addition to those two people and Satan being thrown into the lake of fire, all who are restored to life again at time number two, that's the time of the great white throne judgment, described in the dead judged prophecy, those are individuals who are going to the lake of fire, which is the second death. My perception is that that is an inferior choice. Each of us has an action item. The most important thing from my perspective, and that action item is to decide whether we want to be restored to life again and receive an immortal body dwelling on the new earth for the eternities of eternities, or whether we want to be restored to life again to stand before the great white throne judgment and to be sentenced as a result of payment of our sin to the second death, which is the fiery lake that burns with brimstone for the ages of ages. You might say, well, I think the third choice is the better choice, and the third choice is I'm just gonna exist out there in a disembodied existence just floating in the atmosphere. Don't be deceived. In the same way that neither of us has the option of existing on the earth where unicorns dwell or where the sky is pink from morning to night or where, you know, we could list any number of things that we would have if we were in charge of what is happening on the earth. But we are not the creator, we're the creations. And so given the realities that exist, which are that there are two options, there are two options for what will happen with respect to your continued existence beyond the first death. You will either continue in an immortal, perfected, glorified body, or you will continue in the fiery lake that burns with brimstone forever and ever. So if you are under the sound of my voice, that means that you can make an informed decision. I'm excited for you to make that decision. I encourage you to be with me and to be with us again as we are discussing each of the statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. Thank you so much for being with us. If you have a question, I want to give one more time for people to call. If you have a question, a comment, or a prayer request, go ahead and call us now. Our PGN phone number is 1-319-527-6027. When you call, press 1 if you want to raise your hand so that I can call on you. I won't call on you unless you have your hand raised. Otherwise, I will know that you are listening, but you don't have a question, a prayer request, or a comment at this time. So I see callers with us, but I don't see any hand raised. With that, I want to say thank you so much for being with me and with us today. Please join us again every Sunday and Tuesday. I am talking about statements of prophecy in the book of Revelation. I'm bringing new insights, discussion, and scripture to share with you. And as we end, I want to pray with you and for you. I'm going to say a prayer from the book of Revelation. Today, I declare, according to the word of God, that you are blessed, that you are happy, that you are to be envied because you did hear the word of the prophecy of the book of Revelation. And I pray, friend, that you will keep yourself true to the things which are written in it. I pray that you will heed them. I pray that you will lay them to your heart because God has promised that the time for them to be fulfilled is near. Thank you so much for being with us, and until next time, friend, take care.